Thank you, Abba Father. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Father. We worship you, Abba Father. Lord, our cry, it's cry, Abba Father, Lord. Lord, we adore you. We honor you. We adore you, Father. You are worthy. Worthy and holy is the Lamb of God. You are worthy, Abba Father. You are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our praise and honor, Father. We adore you this night, Father. We just adore you, Father. We just wait in your presence and adore you, Father. Because, oh, this is so needful, Father, to adore you and to wait in your presence, Father. Lord, I'm not in a hurry. I'm not in a hurry, Father. Lord, we, as our pastor says, we don't want business as usual. We want the difference, Father. And we adore you this night, Father. We adore you, Abba, Father. We honor you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We praise your holy name, Jehovah Jireh. We worship you. We thank you, Father, that you're the God who heals us, Father. We honor you and adore you and praise you. Hallowed be thy name, Father. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done, Father. Oh, we hallow thy name tonight, O God. We honor you. We praise you and we adore you, Father. Oh, we just bow down before you, Father. In our hearts, we bow down before you, Father. Because you are worthy, Father. You are worthy, Abba, Father. There is none like you, Father, in all the earth, Father. There is none like you. The heavens declare your handiwork, Abba, Father. The heavens declare your splendor and your glory and your majesty and your might and your power, Father. And we adore you, Father. And we just adore you, Abba, Father. We just adore you, Father. Oh, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name, Father. We worship you. You are worthy in this place. You are worthy in this place, Father. We worship you. We hallow a place in our hearts for you, O God. We honor you and extol you and adore you, Father. Oh, that churches would adore you again, Father. Oh, Father, that we would adore you in our hearts, Father. Oh, hallowed be thy name, Father. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Oh, teach us to worship like we've never worshiped, O God. Teach us to worship like we've never worshiped, Lord. Lord, we don't want just five songs and a sermon. We want to see your glory, O God. We want to see your glory, O God. Hallelujah. We want to worship in your glory, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Come and people get healed, Father, as we worship and as Hallelujah. We adore you. And we behold your beauty, Father. We want to adore you, Father.
Yes, Lord.
We want to put you in the place that is due you, our King and our Lord, our Savior, our Master, Father. We worship you.
Yes, Lord.
We worship you. Praise Brother Mike, I you, just want you to play. Or just play that, Doug. That's fine. Just worship the Lord. Just worship your Master. Oh, just worship Him. He is worthy to be praised.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Worship you, Father. Worship you, Father. Oh, we worship you. Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. Just worship you, Father. We just take extra time and worship you because you're worthy, Father.
Yes, you are.
Oh, you're so worthy, Abba Father.
Worthy, Lord.
Oh, we worship you. We just humble ourselves and worship you, Father. Oh, we worship you because it's in this place, Abba Father, that we are changed and our hearts are rent. I don't remember the words to that melody, but it's oh so familiar. Maybe you remember them, Mom, but I don't.
On the road, shall renew their strength.
If you're tired tonight, you haven't been waiting on the Lord. Put you on the throne where you belong, oh Heavenly Father. We just worship you, Abba Father. I'm not in any hurry, so you'll just have to excuse me. We live in a fallen world in a time such as this, and we need the very spirit and presence of Almighty God in times like this. It's what's going to bring our loved ones in. It's what's going to open their blinded eyes. It's what's going to draw them the very Spirit of God.
Yes, hallelujah.
And we get in too much of a hurry in our services because we've got to sing five songs and give a sermonette and get our Christian children out in spiritual bassinets so they can go and eat and fill their belly with food so that they can eat. But there comes a time when God says enough is enough, as I want your undivided attention.
Yes. Sit at the master's
feet. And He deserves our undivided attention. Because He's worthy. No one's going to love you like your Jesus.
Amen.
Not your husband, not your wife, certainly not your children. No one's going to love you like your Jesus. Maybe you didn't have a good mama or a good father, but you have a good heavenly Father.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
I was fortunate to have not a perfect mother and father, but a mother and father who loved me. Brother Mike, on the other hand, wasn't so fortunate. But he has a good and gracious Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Has a good and gracious Heavenly Father. You see, it's times like this that we need the very Spirit of God. It's times like this that we need to stop playing the church game and surrender our hearts 100% completely to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I've seen too many people play the church game and come in services like this or come into a church service and then leave and be just like they were when they came in. But while they were here, they desired to be different. But there comes a surrendering of your heart that you have to do. You have to give all of yourself to Him. There can't be one place that you leave unsurrendered to your Lord and Savior, because it's that very place the enemy's going to push. The enemy's going to test. The enemy's going to pull you, because it's that place that's unsurrendered. But when you surrender it and lay it on the altar, God Almighty will change you and He'll rearrange your heart. He doesn't ask you to be perfect. He asks you to be willing to surrender it. Too many times Christians aren't willing to surrender it and give it up because they want to be in control instead of let the Lord of glory and our Lord and Savior be in control. But our Lord and Savior is worthy, and it is worth of us giving up of ourselves to have that which we cannot attain without doing so. I don't think you just heard what I said. See, if you want life, you have to give yours up. That's what Jesus said. Your B-I-B-L-E said, your master said. It's amazing when you declare what Jesus said, the brunt and the coldness that you receive back from people, because they don't necessarily want to hear what Jesus had to say. But it's Him that said, unless you deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Me, you won't enter into the kingdom of heaven. You can't even follow Jesus unless you deny yourself. That means you lay everything out on the table. If you were a poker player before you got Christ, you got to lay all your cards out on the table. And Jesus wants us to lay ourselves out on the altar and surrender everything to Him. All of our dreams, all of our hopes, all of our ambitions, everything, He wants us to surrender and lay it on the altar. Because you've tried for many years to change yourself, and I can't change myself and neither can you. But I know a God who can. I know a God who can. The Bible says, unless a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. And God wants this church and all of us to be in a dying stage so that we can bring forth much fruit. And it's an amazing thing. Everybody wants to bring forth fruit and everybody wants the gifts of the Spirit. But the very first fruit of the Spirit is love. And the Bible says in Psalms that we need to love the Lord with everything that's in us. And I'm convinced that there are many Christians that don't love the Lord with everything that's in them. Why? Because everything that your Lord and Savior asks you to do in this book, and how he asked you to follow, not necessarily a man or a woman or a church or an organization, but how your Lord and Savior asked you to follow Him. Not the church, not people, but Jesus. There's a difference in following a church organization and following Jesus. I'm not asking you to join the church. I'm asking you to surrender to Jesus. I'm asking you to bow to Jesus. Because there's a vast difference of coming to church. Coming through those doors doesn't make me a Christian. No difference than me going standing in my two-car garage makes me a car. It's a heart. It's a matter of the heart. The Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It also goes on to say in Psalms, guard your heart. Keep it means to guard it, to put a watch over it. Why? Because things can enter in through life, through circumstances. You can get cold, you can get bitter, you can let the hurt that's happened to you through your life become bitter, and it can fester. But God wants to heal all that. And He wants to heal you. God's in the soul-saving business. He's in the life-changing business. We can't add one measure or one cubit to our stature. We can come to church, put on a shirt, put on a tie, put on a nightdress, but guess what? We haven't added anything to our stature. The Bible says our righteousness is as a filthy rags. This ain't even the message I had tonight, but guess what? I'm going with it. Our righteousness, our self-righteousness, is as filthy rags. That's why we have to come and we have to bow. And we have to surrender.
Yes, yes.
And I'm telling you, if you haven't ever surrendered, you've never been saved. Brother Sean, how can you say that? Because the Bible says that. You've never surrendered all of your heart in an altar to your Lord and Savior, to your God, who you claim. The God that you come to when you need a financial miracle. The God that you come to when you need a healing. The God that you come to when you get in all kinds of trouble. There's a surrender that needs to happen, or God wouldn't have me on this message tonight. I know I'm a young man, but I've walked with Jesus long enough to know when God puts His finger on something. You've got to determine in your heart. If you lose all your flaky friends and all your flaky family members to follow Jesus, it is well, well worth it. Because see, we don't value so much as what we have on the eternal as what we have in the natural right now.
Come on, brother.
We sometimes hold on to the natural and value that more than we do eternity. Yeah. And the Bible says, what will a man or woman give in exchange for their soul?
Yes, sir.
Brother Mike, you can keep playing. Don't stop. I don't know why, but just keep playing. It's okay. What shall a man or woman give in exchange for their soul? You're going to give money? You're going to give your dreams? You're going to give your cars in exchange for your soul on Judgment Day? What's God going to say to you on Judgment Day? Better yet, if your heart stopped beating right this minute, where would you spend eternity? Only you and God know. But oh, you and God know. Because I know that if I died right now, I'm going to heaven. I can take you to a place on Fowler Avenue where I met Jesus. It used to be a Shoney's, now it's Galaxy Fireworks, but I met Jesus there. If you can't tell me where you met Jesus, then you never met Jesus. You've never surrendered your heart to Jesus. Because it was on that day when I was 20 years of age that I surrendered to Jesus. It was on my birthday, to be exact. It was March 17th, I forget the year, but I know the day. That was 16 years ago. I'm 36 now. I've seen God do amazing things. I've seen God heal people. I've seen demons come out. We've seen things when we held prayer meetings at my mom's house as a young man. And I'll be frankly honest, I thought that it was Philip or my mom that had a calling. It never would have imagined it would have been me. But what would you give in exchange for your soul? You can't give money.
That's right.
Your fame can't do it.
That's right.
Your mama can't do it. Your children can't do it. Your husband can't do it. And your wife can't do it. This is a personal exchange. And oh, there's a song called The Great Exchange. And it's a wonderful exchange. When you give yourself up to Jesus and you let Him take control of the reins of your heart and the reins of your life. It's kind of like riding a horse. When you're riding that horse and you got the reins in your hand, you can move the reins this way, the horse is going to go to the left. You can move the reins this way, the horse is going to go to the right. You can pull back on the reins and the horse is going to stop. But see, we ain't so willing to give God the reins of our heart because we want to be in control. We want God to do it this way when God wants to do it that way. We want God to do it now when He wants to wait and do it in His timing, because sometimes people have to come to an end of their self. Sometimes people, unfortunately, have to hit rock bottom. But what will a man or woman give in exchange for their soul? This is an amazing God that we serve, and a gracious God that we serve. But make no mistake about it, you must be born again. There has to be a regeneration of the spirit and a regeneration of the heart. Without it, there is no salvation. Without repentance, there is no salvation.
Amen.
Brother Sean, that's very strong. Yes, it is. It's what your master, it's what Jesus said. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Does that mean I go back into my mama's womb? No. It means there's a regeneration of the spirit. There's a regeneration of the heart. And we know that we passed from death to life because we have love for the brethren. I can tell if somebody's sincerely saved or not because they love to be around God's house and around God's people. And when they don't like to be around God's house and God's people, something needs to change. Brother Sean, you're very stern. No, I'm not Jesus's. I'm just a messenger. I'm just delivering the message. I'm freeing myself tonight by delivering the message. And you can free yourself tonight by surrendering all to Jesus. There's an old song that says, I surrender all. And you know, the church has sang it for years. The problem is we've sang it. We haven't lived it. And we need to live it, myself included.
Amen.
We need to live a surrender life. We need to live a surrender life. A surrender life is, if I go this way and the Lord says, no, I want you to go this way, I turn around and I go back this way. That's a surrender life. And I'm going to tell you, you can be miserable. Let me tell you something. If you're miserable and you're uneasy and you can't seem to have peaceable sleep at night, all you got to do is get right with God. Our pastor's got a famous saying, there ain't nothing wrong with getting right with God. And you know what? Every individual in this room under the sound of my voice, whether it be on CD or in this room tonight, knows whether you're right with God or not. I'm not here to condemn nobody, but I'm here to tell you there's an altar for you and for me if we need to get right with God. I didn't say I could lay my hands on you to get you right. I said there's an altar.
Amen.
Too many times we expect a man to lay their hands on us. A man cannot lay his hands on you for you to get right with God, or even you to get closer to God.
Amen.
We had some women visit the church, and they were sweet, precious women. And after every Sunday night service, they would ask me to pray for them to get closer to God. And one Sunday night, the Lord said no. And I said, ma'am, I can't pray for you to get closer to God. I wasn't mean, but I can't pray for Sister Ruth to get closer to God. It's up to Sister Ruth's walk whether she wants to get closer to God or not.
Amen.
It's up to you and me whether we want to pick up this Bible when we wake up in the morning and feast on the Word of God.
Amen.
And go into our closets and pray and get close to God. So I proceeded to tell her, I can't pray for that, but you can come right here and you can get close to God. They never came back. And it was that point I had to make a decision as a young man. Just because they don't come back doesn't mean I didn't hear from the Lord. There are those that are going to come back and there are those that ain't. And I'm okay with that. Because I'm going to deliver what God tells me to deliver. If it cost me everything, I don't think you heard me. We need to be willing to give up everything. You might lose your flaky husband or your flaky wife to follow Jesus. Just lay right there and pour your heart out to God. I can't do it, sir. I can't do it, but God can. The Spirit of the Lord is here. See, church, this is why we have to let the Spirit of God. Sir, I'm going to lead you in a prayer, but I want you to stay in the altar, because it's in this place where God changes us. So I just want you to repeat after me, dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the precious blood of Jesus. Create in me a clean heart. Forgive me, Lord. I'm sorry of my sins. Lord, I just pray for this man.
Yes.
Father, I pray that you would take this man, Father God, and you would use him in these last days, Father. And you would, I pray that Christ would be formed in him, Father. I pray that Jesus would be formed in him, Father. Lord, I thank you. And I praise you for a soul coming to Jesus. Heaven is standing at attention. Angels are rejoicing, Father. And I praise you and I worship you, Father God. 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 I praise your holy name, Father. I praise your holy name, Father. Father, I thank you. I praise you, Father. I thank you, Father. When's the last time you were in a church where they came up and said, what must I do to be saved? Are you bragging, Brother Sean? No, because I can't do this. This ain't me doing this, but it's the very Spirit of God. It's what we've been praying for years upon years upon years. And I'm going to make a statement tonight under the unction of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to make a statement that this is just the beginning. I'm going to make a statement that this is just the beginning. I want y'all to pray for Heather and I, because we are under. We're under God's grace, but we have a lot of responsibility with Heather's father right now. He needs Jesus first and foremost before he needs a healing. But he has congestive heart failure and he has COPD. And he can't hardly do anything anymore. So it's kind of like we're taking care of him and going to the store for him. And it's putting a strain on both of us and wearing us both out. And that's why she's not here tonight, because she was sick and then got better. So she thought and went and helped her dad and go to the store and stuff. And it just wore her out. But God's going to heal her and God's going to give us grace. God's going to give us grace. I've seen God do some miraculous things in the past months. I've seen the enemy rear his head. But I've raised my head too. And I called out to a God. And a God has answered and a God has delivered.
Hallelujah.
I don't know if any of you remember a couple Sundays ago, I came up here and grabbed Brother Venable's hand. Brother Sean, why did you do that? I'll tell you why I did that. Because I was going through hell. Enemy was attacking me on from every side. But I said, you know what? I'm taking my stand with my God. I says, ain't no devil, ain't no demon going to tell me that I'm not supposed to be here. That's part of the reason I know I'm supposed to be here, because of the fight that I go through. And this is just another evidence that I'm supposed to be here. I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed and I've sought the Lord, because I don't want to just be here because my parents come here. I want to be where the Lord wants me. I'm not a child anymore running around the church. I've become a man, and I want to be where Jesus wants me. And so I grabbed Brother Venable's hand and I said to God and I said to the devil, Lord, I'm going to stand. And devil, you're a liar. I'm going to see this turn around. And I'm going to tell you, it wasn't a week or 2 weeks later, God turned it around. I mean, God turned it around. You don't know the things that I was going through. But I'm telling you, God is a God who answers prayer in the 21st century. So I don't want you to be discouraged. I don't want you to be discouraged. If your flaky kids are giving you a fit, it's okay. God's going to save them. They can't hide from Jesus. They can't hide from the Holy Ghost, because He's everywhere. He's everywhere. People need the Lord. People need Jesus. It's the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are alive, it is the very power of God unto salvation. It's what we witnessed here tonight. Why? Because we allowed the Spirit of God to have His way. And I'm telling you something right now. If our pastor ever changes that, I'm gone. I know he won't, but if he ever does, I'm gone. Because I've got to be where God's Spirit can move and God can speak to me. But it's Jesus and it's our heart that God wants. All of it. All of it. God wants you to draw a circle. Put yourself in the center of it and say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours, Abba Father. I'm yours. Take my life. Take my life, Lord. Doesn't matter what the devil's saying in your face. Take your stand and God will come through. Doesn't matter what the enemy says, take your stand and God will come through. God will deliver His people. He's a covenant-keeping God. He keeps covenant to 1,000 generations. He's not going to be indebted to you and me. We just have to get into the position where He can answer us. I got the answer because I was in the position. Not because I'm so special. When you see God answer people's prayers, don't get jealous. Look at their life. Find out what kind of position that they're in to where God's answering their prayers. So many people came to my mom when my sister and I came to Jesus. Well, what did you do? I'm going to tell you what my mama did. She got on her face and she declared war for our souls. We don't have parents today that want to get on their face and declare war for their children's soul or for their husband's soul or for their wife's soul. Because we're not just beating the one that beats the air. We're in a warfare, my brother and sister. We need to declare war on our enemy. We need to get violent, the scripture says, and the violent take it back by force. There are some things that the enemy's stolen from each and every one of us that God wants to restore. There is some health that God wants to restore to us because He's an awesome God and He can. But we have to be in the position. And let me tell you something, there's no better position to be than this. There's no better position to be than laying yourself on the altar and saying, Lord, I surrender. Lord, I give you the kingdom of my heart. I give you everything. Lord, I can't change anybody or anything. So, Lord, let the revival begin in me. I'm going to be real honest. That's exactly what I prayed when y'all saw me on the altar. When I was going through it, I had to make a decision. And everybody has to make a decision. That no matter what, you're going to follow Jesus no matter what. No matter what happens, you're going to follow Jesus. If my wife doesn't follow with me, I'm going to follow Jesus. If my husband doesn't follow with me, I'm going to follow Jesus. And it's a very difficult place and a very difficult situation to be in. Because light and darkness is a very, very real thing. And it creates conflict in homes. But God is faithful. And God will deliver. And God will answer. Let me tell you something. If your enemy's rearing his head, it's because he's scared. And he's nervous. And because God's fixing to do something miraculous. God is fixing to do something miraculous. I'm going to be real honest. I had to work 12 hours today. I was on the way over here all the way from Zephyr Hills. And I said, Lord, I didn't get the time I wanted to, so I just give the service to you. Because I'm very, very, very serious when it comes to ministering. I don't take it lightly. I like to get alone with God. I like to seek His face. I like to just come and read the scripture. And Sandy's come down here and saw me before, and so she's coming down here to clean the church, so I just grab my books and stuff and go over to the portable because I like to be alone and hear from the Lord. I'll never forget when I first started teaching youth, everybody would come to me, what are you going to talk about tonight? None of your business. If you want to know what I'm going to talk about, come tonight. I don't talk about it because God might change it. It's something, I didn't even learn that from our pastor. That's just something the Lord taught me. In youth service, the Lord just said, don't ever talk about what you're going to speak about. I remember going down to the mission and speaking. They only asked me once. I don't know why, but they only asked me once to come down and minister. But that's okay. But I went down and ministered to the mission. And as I getting ready to minister, they're honoring a man. And give honor to whom honor's due. I'm all for that. But we have homeless people down at this mission, and they gave the man a watch. Is there something wrong with giving the man a watch? No, there's nothing wrong with getting the man a watch, but there's a time and a place for everything, and I don't necessarily agree with the fact that they did it right before a service, because we're fighting for men and women's lives and their souls, and yes, we need to give honor to whom honor's due, but there comes a time and a place where you could put that on the back burner and put Christ first. And I was a young man. I was probably 21. Maybe I was just 20. I might have been 21. And they asked me to come speak, and I was scared to death. But I said, okay, I'll accept. And I went into my sister's room, my mom's house, and shut the door and locked myself in there all day long. And I was going to ride with Jimmy and Philip. And we rode with Jimmy and Philip, and they're talking, and I'm just flumming through the scriptures and just praying under my breath and just flumming through the scriptures. And I get there, and I'm sitting up on the stage, and I'm waiting to be able to speak. And as I'm speaking, God's moving and God's touching. And it was at that point that I realized, for whatever reason, God put His hand on me. And I'm going to tell you something. To me, it's a very humbling thing. And I get upset with my wife, and I get upset with my mother and my sister when we'll be somewhere and they'll be like, "Oh yeah, Sean, he's the associate pastor of the church. Look, you don't need to say that about me. Just let me be. Just let me come here on Sunday nights and just be it." Because I do not want to fall into pride or get a big head. Because let me tell you something. I've seen it happen over the years. Nobody's above it. It's not that I don't honor what the Lord has done. I do very, very much so. I'm just very, very cautious and careful. And I think men and women need to be cautious and careful with the gifts that God gives them. And they need to honor them, and they not need to toy with them. This ain't a play toy. This is a tool to help people get saved. And we need our intercessors to come to the front line like never before, Sister Ruth. And it's time that everybody that has the Holy Ghost is to be an intercessor. I'm going to say it again. Everyone who has the Holy Ghost is to be an intercessor. Just like everybody who has the Holy Ghost has the ability to go out into the streets and witness. Because that's what Jesus wants us to do. Is to be a witness in this world for Him. Not only does He want us to be a witness, He wants us to be an ambassador. We don't just have just anybody that stands behind us. We have the very God of the universe backing us up. The very God of the universe has our back. And it's a very holy and humbling thing to be used by God Almighty. It's a very holy and humbling thing to be used by God Almighty. And I'm tired of seeing parading, prancing ministers on the TV like they're some big shots. Because you take that anointing from them and they're nothing. You take this away from me and guess, you take God's Spirit away from any of us and we're nothing. We're just dead men walking without God. We're just dead men walking. If I hadn't have become born again when I did, I wouldn't have probably lived to see 22 years of age. Because I'm going to tell you something, our enemy plays for keeps. And he'd love nothing more than to snuff me out and raise me as a trophy before the Lord and say, "Look what I got, God. You had plans for him, but I influenced him, and now he's with me for eternity." But let me tell you something, if it had not been for a mother in a church that was praying for me, it was mainly my mother, but the church did pray, that caused my blinders to be lifted off of my eyes. I'll never forget the night Ditter came to the house in her big old red pickup truck. And I stayed home all day, and my mom kept scratching her head. "What's he doing home all day?" She had no idea I was coming to church. I stayed in my room, looked through the blinds, and when she got in the truck, then I ran out to the truck and said, "Scoot over." And she looked at me like I had two heads. And I said, "Get over." And Ditter looked astonished. I knew they'd been praying, but they got that giggle that only Ditter and Mama can get on the inside of them. And as I'm on the way to church, they didn't say nothing. They just kept talking about the goodness of the Lord, what God's been doing. And we get to church, and I backslid because of young lady. That is the reason I backslid, because I fell into Delilah's lap, to be honest with you. But God is merciful, forgiving, and gracious. But as I went to church, I sat on Backslider's Corner where the old tape room used to be. For those of you that have been to the Holy Church of God. And we're sitting there. And what's Brother Bruno talk about? What's his sermon that night? Samson and Delilah. I said, all right, Lord, you got my number once again. God knows how to get our attention. God knows how to speak to me and to speak to you. So as I'm sitting there, service goes, and, you know, Brother Venable gives the altar call, and yes, I felt the conviction of the Holy Ghost, but I just gripped the, pew that was in front of me and just gripped it and gripped it and gripped it and gripped it, and finally the service was over, so I just went and sat by my mom and did her, and Sister Venable comes up to me and goes, how you doing? And all I said was these words, I'm living. So all I said wasn't going to say anything else. I said, I'm just living. We left church, went to Shoney's, and we ate our Shoney's meal and fellowship and coffee and all that for them to drink coffee. I had a soda, and we're getting ready to get in Ditter's truck, and Nana goes, I want to pray for you. I'm like, whatever, it ain't going to work. Well, it worked, because I'm standing here tonight. So let me tell you something. Don't let the devil lie to you and say your prayers are going unheard. God's delay is not his denial. God's delay is not his denial. I'm waiting on you to position yourself so I can answer the prayers that I want to answer for you. Does not my word declare it? If my people, which are called by now my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will they hear from heaven, and then will I heal their land, saith the Spirit of the Lord. It has always been my people that have held back revival, says the Spirit of the Lord. It is no different than when the children of Israel couldn't go over and possess the land because of their unbelief. And at times, I really believe we fall prey to unbelief because it's taken so long. But I want to encourage you tonight that there is a different spirit inside of me and inside this church that God wants to give to us. And it's a spirit that will not quit. And it's a spirit that will just believe God and take Him at His word. I'm going to say it again. There's a generation of people that are going to believe God like never before. And it has to be that way, because we have seen what happens when you don't believe God. Thank you for the amen, Brother Mike. Because we've seen less deliverances. We've seen less healings. We've seen less manifestations of the Spirit of God, because we've been satisfied with three songs in a sermon. And I'm going to be honest, I'm not satisfied with that. I'm not satisfied with that. I don't care if we worship till 8 o'clock at night and then I preach and we don't go home until 11. I want to see a change, and I want to see a difference in this church, in this community, and in each and every one of our lives. Because it's going to take the supernatural. It is going to take the supernatural to break down strongholds and to pull them down. It's not going to take the normal 5-minute prayer and people get changed. It's going to take us going into warfare like we've never gone into warfare. And I believe there's going to be warfares that we go into, and this say I and not the Lord, where even we can have great drops of blood. Not because we're like Jesus, but because there's just an intense warfare. And if you've never been in intercessory prayer, you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you have, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There are groanings and moanings which cannot be uttered, the scripture said. There is a Finney went out into the woods and had to pray because of the groanings that came out of his spirit and out of his gut. He groaned like a dog and howled like a wolf when he began to pray as the Spirit gave him unction and as he prayed for souls and God to change people. He moaned like a wolf. That's the kind of groanings in intercessory prayer that we need. That's the kind of men and women that we need behind pulpits. So I'm excited about our pastor retiring and going back into full-time ministry. I hope, and I sent him an email that if he has the opportunity to go to Brother Spain's church and preach, I want him to go. I'll take care of everything here. Why? Because I believe that he needs to go. But I want God to reveal it to him. I'm praying for it because I want him to go, because he is a minister's minister. I really believe that. He knows how the Lord just has a way of speaking to his heart on what he needs to deliver, and it may be for Brother Venable more so than Brother Spain. As God begins to move and God begins to stir and God begins to touch people, because he sees God beginning to touch people, he's going to get excited, even more excited than he is. I'm going to get excited, more excited than I am, and you better too, because God's getting ready to bust loose and to bust out. I'm telling you, God is getting ready to do everything that we've asked Him to do. God is getting ready to do all the years and tears and prayers that we've prayed. God is getting ready to answer, but we have to position ourselves. God's just not going to do it and us live our own same way that we've always lived for all these years at the Holy Church of God. And as we live in our daily lives in our homes, we're going to have to determine in our hearts that we bow down before our Lord and Savior. We take up our cross and follow Him. We tell the flesh, no matter how tired it is, to shut up. I'm going to pray. Because it's not easy when you're tired. Thank you for the amen. It's not easy to pray when you're tired. It's not easy to come home from work and come down here on Wednesdays for prayer meeting. Yes, he has, and we got to fight back. Because he's afraid of this right here. He's afraid of this busting loose, but I'm going to tell y'all on a little secret. He's a liar. And if we don't give him the ground, he can't take it. But too many times we have given him the ground. Myself included. Don't look at me like y'all so righteous you haven't given him the ground. But it's time we grow up, church. It's time we grow up. God's telling us enough's enough. Souls are in the balance. Souls are on the line. And it's time that we put our petty differences aside, whatever they might be. Our feelings shouldn't matter when it comes to a soul getting saved. Mine included. You put your feelings aside if somebody walks down to this altar and wants to get saved. Put them on the altar. Put them on the altar and be quiet and just tell them to shut up. Because souls are in the balance. And God is moving even as we're here tonight. God is moving. I'm going to tell y'all something. I'm about to quit. And we're going to shout. Because we have a lot to shout about tonight. Heaven is standing in attention. Angels are rejoicing. And we have a lot to shout about. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon each and every one of you for such a time as this. The Spirit of the Lord of God is upon Mike to play that keyboard and to pray, and on Doug to do the media, and on Sister Pat to sing, and on Sister Dell to sing. And the Spirit of the Lord of God is upon you guys to support our pastor and to pray for him and to stand with him. Brother Sean, why'd you stick it out? Because God told me to. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. When this breaks loose, when this breaks loose, I'm gonna submit this to you under the unction of Almighty God. When this breaks loose, there will be people return and want their positions. Listen to my words. There will be people return and want their positions. And guess what? They've been filled. Because God doesn't have time to waste precious oil on petty things. If I got a problem with Brother Mike and God's word tells me I need to forgive him and love him, I need to put my flesh aside and forgive him and love him, and so do you. I just need to shut up and come to church and let the Spirit of God change me. Because I've got the problem. Not Brother Mike. I've got the problem. This is what we live by as a Christian. So you want to know, this is our roadmap. This is our GPS. This is our Garmin right here. I know it's not digital. I know it doesn't tell us to turn right or left on its own. We have to get inside of it. And we have to read chapter, and we have to read book, and we have to read chapter, and we have to study to show ourselves to be approved unto God. But this is our GPS as a Christian. You see people going to the stores all the time buying GPS systems for their cars, plug them into their lighters, and guess what? They got satellites all over the world. And go up here. I'm in Orlando. I want to go to Zaxby's restaurant. Boom. Oh, 19 miles up ahead on the right. Follow it. It's an amazing thing. We can follow that GPS system, but we can't follow God's word. Practical but true. Jesus was a very practical man, but he spoke a lot of truth. He didn't get too far in left field out there. He was pretty down to earth. I mean, any master that cooks fish for a tired servant is pretty practical. Doesn't get any more practical than that. It's we men that try to make him superstitious and make him appear to what he's really not. If the church just gets back to this, the cross. For those of you that are by CD or radio, we have a cross pulpit in our congregation. If the church or you yourself get back to the cross, your life will be changed.
Amen.
See, Jesus hung on the cross so we could be saved. And he asked us to put our life on the cross so it can stay saved. Salvation without repentance is no salvation. I'm going to tell you something. The Spirit of God laid it on hot and heavy tonight. I mean, he laid it on thick tonight. Did it matter? Did it stop somebody coming to Jesus? Not at all. So don't tell me we got to water it down and go into the community and ask them what they need. No, we need to declare what the Scriptures say. We need to declare what the Word of God says and let God take care of the rest.
Amen.
He will back his word up. That's right, Sister Ruth.
Amen.
Would you please stand? I'm excited. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. Because God, this could be your husband. This could be your son. This could be your brother. He's a new creation in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Hallelujah!
Yeah! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
I don't know your name. I don't know nothing about you. But I'm going to tell you something. You will never be the same after tonight if you follow on to know Jesus. You will never be the same. Yeah. I'm telling you. You will never be the same. Doug, give us some worship. But before you hit the worship, I want to pray for you again.
Yeah.
Brother Mike, I want you to come. Brother Willie, I want you to come.
Yes, yes, yes.
Hallelujah. Because I'm going to lay claim on this soul.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Your name, sir. Matt, that's a good name. Good name. I like that name. Father, I want to thank you for
thank
Matt.
Thank you, Bob.
I want to thank you that he came down to me and said, what must I do, Father? So that was done by your Spirit, Father God. I had nothing to do with that, Father. So, Lord, I thank you. I praise you and worship you. Father, I thank you for Matt. I plead the blood of Jesus over Matt. Satan, I command you in the name of Jesus to loose Matt in Jesus' name. And I claim him for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you and praise you that from this night forward, Matt's life will never be the same. Not by might, nor by power, but by the very Spirit of God. And Lord, I thank you for filling him with the Holy Ghost, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for filling him with the Holy Ghost, Father, from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, Father. Father, I thank you for filling him with the mighty Spirit of the living God. In Jesus' name, Father, I thank you for touching him and his life never, ever being the same, Father. And Lord, I praise you and I give you the honor. I give you the glory. I worship you. I adore you. I hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, Father. Father, I thank you and I praise you, Father. I praise you, Father God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.